From KCRW in Santa Monica, this is The Treatment.
It's The Treatment. I'm Elvis Mitchell. You can also hear the show at KCRW.com. My guest is the director of the films Moros Perros, 21 Grams, and his new film is Babel. They're all films about communication and that need to communicate so desperately that sometimes it can break you in two. He is Alejandro Gonzalez Iñárritu. Alejandro, thanks for coming back to do the show again.
Thank you for inviting me, Elvis. Pleasure.
I need you to explain Babel for the audiences who may not know much about it yet. If you can just give us a brief synopsis of it.
Well, basically, you know, Babel, as the other two films that conforms my trilogy that starts with Amores Perros and 21 Grams, it's a film that deals with four stories. And beyond the fact that it has a political and social comment in it, in a global scale, I will say, as the other two, it's a film of parents and children. It deals with that complex relations between parents and children. The core of it is this incident that happens to two Moroccan kids that triggered the gun in the mountains of Morocco and accidentally hit an American woman that is married trying to save her marriage by a very tragic incident that has happened to them in their personal lives. And at the same time, the kids of this couple is being taken care of by a Mexican nanny in the United States, and she has to have a big, huge decisions to make. And so the kids will go through their own journey. And the other end of the world in Japan is a deaf teenager Japanese girl who is basically struggling not only to communicate physically, but spiritually. I will say that she's unable. She's isolating this urban city and living with her dad, who both of them has been, again, struggling with some loss that they are trying to survive. So it's hard to explain, verbalize what these things has to do one to the other, but the film tried to deal with that exactly, to deal with the emotional and thematic link instead of a physical link between these stories.
You're talking about parents and children. Your films are so much about families, and I thought that Amores Perros is really about if you live in a world where there's extended family who can sort of like help you out. And like in Gael Garcia Bernal's house, he's still with his mother. At least he's got that sort of that cushion of that. So when tragedy occurs, you at least there are people you can connect to who can help you through it. In 21 Grams, these people are all disconnected from everything. They only have their families in their immediate households. And when tragedy strikes them, they have no support system. And that kind of goes back and forth a bit in Babel because there's an extended family we see at the very beginning of the movie. But certainly that household in Japan of the father and daughter, there's just the two of them, they can't communicate. It's all about these families are so key to the way you make films emotionally as well as narratively. Is that why they kind of stray a little bit because families can be so sort of big and unconventional?
Yeah, I would say that for me, I think family is the source of joy, but the source of tragedy. You know, since the man is in the earth, since Adan and Eva were fired from paradise, and you know, since Cain killed Abel, you can find since the biblical times that family are basically the source of tragedy in life, and dramatically you can find in families all the source of whatever you want, all the our behavior as human relations, and it's fascinating. So I think that's the most complex relations of all of us, and I like to deal with that. I think that's why I was saying that even when it's in a global scale, at the end, Babel is just four intimate stories of families, I will say.
In these movies, too, you've worked with a writer in all three cases, Guillermo Arriaga, who would you say that he is sort of different enough from you that creates some – I guess some tension as well as some simpatico, so you guys get these stories out because clearly they come from some very deep parts in both of you.
It has been a great privilege and honor to have worked with Guillermo during the last 9 years. I think it was a very intense collaboration, and he's a fantastic writer. The funny thing is that he has a very unique personal universe, and I have mine, and I think in some horizons we find ourselves completely linked and sharing the same vision. But in moments, we obviously find completely a different universe fighting each other, which this dialectic, this thing, obviously brings the characters a more contradictory nature and obviously benefit the story. You understand what I mean? That in creative process, in collaboration, this filmmaking is such a collaborative art that in this stage of when you are dreaming, when you are just finding, you are just making the sketches of what you will do, and this abstract, you can just put in the table everything. So we argue, we discuss. So he came from a different background. I came from a different background. But then is what I think brings, at the end, the character is very interesting because the natures are fighting as we are, and it's not manichaeism. You know what I mean? It's not good or bad. It's both at the same time. It's not black or white. It's at the same time the same thing. So, and I think that has been very productive. In the three films that we have made, finally, and finalizing this trilogy, I can find that very easily where all these things come from, and that what make the work, if it's good, good, you know?
We're talking about the very complex worldview of Alejandro González Iñárritu. His films are, of course, Amoros Perros, 21 Grams, and his newest, Babel. This one has the most astonishing cast and the widest-ranging cast of any movie I can think of even the last 10 years ago, from movie stars such as Brad Pitt and Cate Blanchett to bringing back Gael Garcia Bernal again, to the actors at the beginning of the movie who had never acted before. Talk about just the way you, what you looked for in those actors for each of those stories, because they're very emotional.
The cast took me like 1 year here. It was a huge process of casting because I was casting all around the world in three continents. You know, this took three continents to shoot this film. In Africa, in Morocco, the beginning. So I shot basically the first story of the kids. No, first was the Cate Blanchett and Brad Pitt story. Then I shot the kids' story, the Moroccan family story in Africa. Then I shot in Mexico, in America. I shot it in Tijuana and the Sonoran Desert. And then we wrapped, and then we went to Japan, to Asia, and we were just shooting there like another 3 months. So at the end for me was to make like four films because it was four stories with different characters, with different things, and it was very scary. So the casting took me 1 year before I start casting because obviously just the traveling and to understand the system in each country. And always I conceived this film with plenty of non-actors. I wanted new faces, as I wanted faces from the real towns, from the real communities. When I was just scouting the locations, I felt that I can find that. But I have to say that at the same time, being every story so small and having some very short time to develop a character dramatically and given an arc dramatically, when you have 25 minutes, in some of these stories, I need some people who can really immediately empathize and you can connect immediately. And I always thought that Brad, as an icon, as an American icon representing the United States, can be a very powerful actor for it. At the same time, very challenging.
Are you worried that he was too powerful, too iconic a presence in some ways?
I think it's an icon, and I think he has an incredible magnetism. You know what I mean? And he has that power of make people immediately empathize with him. He has a very human face. There's something in him that make people immediately being connected emotionally with him and care about him, the same as Cate. But at the same time, I have to say that knowing that I will be playing with non-actors, most of them, you know, it was a challenge to bring such a recognizable actors in a ground in where basically there was almost, I will say, palm trees. And then I will bring these pines, and how to put a pine in the middle of a beach with palms and make you believe that it's a palm. You know what I mean? That they are not suddenly get your attention and say, look at that pine. What is the pine doing in a beach? You understand what I'm saying? So to blend that, I think it was an extraordinary process, challenging one, but it was fascinating for them and for me to reach. And I think for them was an extremely great work that they did because they work every day with non-actors, people that has never seen a camera. So it's like to play Agassi toward one guy that has never had a racket.
My guest is director and line judge Alejandro González Iñárritu. His new film is Babel. I wonder, for you, doing these different stories, these films with these incredibly different stories, how you manage to maintain the emotional center in each of them, especially with such an extended schedule like this, going to all these different places and having to keep all these emotional elements clear in your mind.
I think one of the challenges not only was directing non-actors in different languages that I didn't understand at all, you know what I mean? But the most challenging thing for me was to find grammatic language, visual language that can allow me to put together so many elements, so many diverse elements, as these four stories in three continents in five different languages. How to make all these landscapes and faces and things that are so different and to build one single film, you know, that make sense, that doesn't end up as four short films without connection. And at the same time, knowing that the characters in the film will never see the faces each other, that they will never be connected physically, but they will have to just basically be physically, thematically, tonally, emotionally. And so that was a very difficult challenge, I think. I struggle a lot.
Was it tough to put the film together as you were cutting the films down and trying and looking for a way to make them cohere? Did you always keep these elements in your head? Were you able to do that? Or was it much harder in Babel than it had been in the other two films?
It was difficult here because I think it changed a lot. I think the film in the editing room, Stephen Morrione, which is a sculptor and really helped me a lot, which was fantastic to work with him again. We spent 6 months basically, you know, trying to find from all these fresh and raw stones that I bring from this country, suddenly discovering through sculpting them a little bit what's going on inside and what part of the elephant it is here, you know. Here, look at this, a little piece of the tail. And then a little bit, you know, you are discovering the pieces of the elephant that you thought that those stones will have it. Sometimes you find it, sometimes you don't find it. But in the editing room, you sculpt, and then you are conforming, rewriting, shaping, and finding what elephant and what kind of elephant it is, you know? And that was fascinating. So to discover the film in that way, it was fascinating, and we struggle. And obviously, when you in a structure like that, because since the script, there's obviously a spirit of this structure, but when you take and change one little piece, all the pieces of the puzzles move, so you have to conform again the structure of it. So it's not easy, you know what I mean?
So it is finally a much different film in the editing than it was in the writing.
I will say that it changed. It changed because obviously, I said that you know, film is a very alive process. It's a changing process, which is what is fascinating. And the first stage is the script, where you have this theory and these dreams, and you have a conception that has to be very solid and is super important. But once you go to the next stage, which is not the abstract but the concrete, is when you confront a lot of the realities and limitations, and then you have to adjust and to adapt and to write. And in this case, it was extreme because I was confronting different limitations and cultures and non-actors. And then obviously all the collaboration of the actors and things, everybody's building up. It's a very orgy kind of thing, you know. It's an orgy, basically creative orgy. And you are finding your collaborations in every stage. And in the third one, which is the editing, which is a very intellectual one, is finally when you find all these elements, if they make sense or not, and at the end it change for the good or sometimes, unfortunately, for the bad of it. So you just make your best, you know.
My guest is director Alejandro González Iñárritu. We'll come back with more metaphors. It's The Treatment. I'm Elvis Mitchell.
You're listening to The Treatment with Elvis Mitchell from the studios of KCRW Santa Monica.
Welcome back. It's The Treatment, which you can also hear at kcrw.com. I'm Elvis Mitchell. My guest is director Alejandro González Iñárritu. His new film is Babel. I think about your lives before this as making commercials and as a DJ. All these things you were doing was basically finding ways to tell very short stories that seemed kind of disconnected, but you found a way to connect. I mean, you're sitting spinning turntables and then making and playing music. You've got to, like, find a way to sort of, like, you know, segue and make all this stuff play. Was that kind of an emotional preparation for you, these kind of anthology films you essentially make?
Well, about the structure, you mean?
Yes.
I think it has to do with a lot of things. I think, you know, I think Guillermo Arriaga and I think we share the ADD problem. You know, we are, you know, having the deficit attention problem. So I think we that's one of the things that we really share.
Are you somebody who's easily bored? Is that why you have to have two or three things going on at once, or is it just a concentration thing? Because I've got to imagine part of it is you're looking to be engaged by things as much as anything else.
Yeah, but it's hard for me to get bored. I think it's the problem is that you don't get bored and you are very active. And you are active all the time, so you can just sit down and stay there. Your brain is very jumping from one place to the other, so you want to do a lot of things at the same time. We are completely fragmented now, you know? And I think cinema is a fragmented emotional experience. And that's, I think, we take advantage of that because I think cinema, differently from the theater play, allow you to play with this juxtaposition of images that doesn't have to do nothing one to the other, and magically, fragmentedly, the audience will put the blank between one to the other, and you can play with time, you can play with this, whatever you want. And I think that's a good tool to have dramatically, I think.
One of these I just wanted to ask you about music, because music is one of those things that if you're not doing a lot of things, you know, the beat and the song, the lyrics themselves can move you in two different ways and have that kind of same sort of emotional montage experience that you're talking about that film can do. And clearly for you, music is a big inspiration or a big driving force in the way you make films.
The first thing that I did in film was to make score for a short film that I did when I was in the university. It was a little short film, and I did the score. Martin Hernandez, who now is the sound designer, he made the boom, and he was taping. So I think I'm close to the cinema because it allowed me to be close to the music. I love music. I'm a frustrated musician, and when I conceive a film, when I'm shooting a film, I'm seeing this as a symphony. You know, I'm very, very always, before I start shooting, how it will sound. What's the textures? What kind of album will be close to? How, you know what I mean? I'm trying to refer which rhythm the actors will be working. I try to have a beat in my brain in order to how he will walk.
You think of that specifically?
Very specific. I'm very specific.
Because one of the things that really sort of strikes me about Babel is the scene where your Japanese star is in the club and there's music going on. And just the idea of somebody like that who's being moved by this sort of force around her that she can't hear is a really powerful concept.
I designed all that scene before shooting. So, I mean, I had exactly everything. I knew that Ryuichi Sakamoto will start with Love Can Conquer Hate. It will mix with this Earth, Wind, and Fire thing that I thought months ago, which Shinichi Osawa helped me to put together in his studio, mixing that, and then I knew that it would become the other guys, Fatboy Slim, and I knew that I will take out this the sound. I designed the shooting with Rodrigo Prieto that every time that the POV of her, it will be silent, so we planned the pannings in order that how we will return. So all of that was pre-designed first with audio, and this is a very specific case how the audio make the emotion, how put the audience in the point of view. That's a good example of how important is for me the music, you know.
It's the treatment, I guess, as director Alejandro González Iñárritu, we're talking about Babel, but also about music. And all three of the films, the music has been something that it often speaks to what the character is feeling. You use it as a way to sort of sometimes contrast what's going on screen, but still offer some kind of either subconscious or very conscious emotional state the characters are going through.
Yeah, I think that music. In Amores Perros, I use, and in 21 Grams, I use very few amounts of music. I like films that doesn't have a lot of music. I hate when the musics basically are trying to cover and to do what emotionally wasn't achieved in the screen by the actors or by the script. I don't like that. When you have a film that 90% is violins and they try to show you what to feel with this, I hate that because it's like, okay, am I seeing a concert or am I seeing, you know what I mean? It's like, I don't understand. So for me is when 1 + 1 = 3, when music brings something more than the emotion that is already there in the screen, when it takes it to another dimension is when I think the music should be used. I think in Babel, I try to use music more extremely in order to fight the tyranny of the image because it was so overwhelming, the image, that I was trying to suddenly give the voice of the music power and to put people in the mind of the character, especially in the Japanese, because I think music is a contradiction to her.
I'm thinking about music because we were talking about the scene. And in Babel, I'm also thinking about the scene in the last sort of Amoros Perros when you play the Holly's Long Cool Woman, and where it basically is sort of saying something that's not quite going on in the scene, but it also offers kind of like a deep breath and moves things forward. I mean, the music is so important to you. And I just wonder if you come to – it sounds like you're talking about you come to movies first and foremost the way you want to use music. And I wonder if there are films that you can think of that used music in ways that really sort of excited and stimulated you and make you think.
Well, I remember, for example, one of my favorite is Once Upon a Time in America, for example. So, I mean, that I think that that soundtrack, that music, it's completely different from what I do, but I remember how impact that was. That
all that sort of lush romanticism that the Morricone did for that movie really, really moved you.
Yeah, super moved me. So, I mean, I think is when that the music basically talked to me about the period. Another one that I remember, the Ice Storm. I remember that music. Really.
Why the Ice Storm?
I remember that soundtrack just hit my heart. Beautiful music. Again, it's not in your face. When you notice the music in a film, that music is bad. Because it's when the musician wants to be like, hey, I am here. Or when you said, what a great photography. That photographer is not a good one. Or when you say, look at what a cool director, is that the director wants to be show off with cranes and dollies and great movement. I think everybody should be just behind of what is going on, and the people just should be in the journey of what's going on. And the people say, is this a film or is this a little piece of life or a dream? What is this? But if you see the skills of somebody there, there's something wrong.
It's the treatment. My guest is director Alejandro González Iñárritu. We're talking about everything, but his new movie is Babel. In any of your movies, I think about the first 5 minutes, because your movies don't work in terms of the three-act structure. So in the first 5 to 10 minutes, we have no idea where the movie's going. I mean, certainly there's that instant that sets everything off, but after that, you have no idea where things are headed. And that's got to be part of the subtlety you want, too, where audiences just have to pay attention to what's going on rather than all the techniques.
I think trust the audiences, right? I mean, I think there's, you know, I think that's the key element. That's the do not underestimate the audience, because then if you are afraid of that or what this means or if this is clear, then you begin to overdo things in acting, in movements, in close-ups. And then everything is too loud, and then at the end. But then some people like that, and I'm not against that. It's just that I feel that sometimes nobody should be noticed. You know what I mean? That's the trick in the magician.
Because it sounds like you're against it, because what that stuff does, it calls attention to all the things that pull you out of the movie.
Completely. When I'm looking a film, and I know that I'm looking a film, I'm not in the film. I'm just intellectually having a relation with something that is trying to tell me something. But when I lost myself in a film, that I don't notice, that suddenly I forgot that I'm seeing a film, watching a film, is when suddenly that film become in my and goes into my veins. You know what I mean? When nobody wants to show up there, show off and tell me how cool it is. And I think that's the most difficult thing.
You were lucky. You made a bunch of shorts and done commercials before you made your first feature. But were you worried about being too intense and too assaultive and having too much technique in your first film, and you were consciously working against that with Amoros Perros?
That's exactly what you said. I did so many commercials with so many tricks, with so many cool lenses and gadgets and dollies and movements and cool things, and trying to achieve everything in 30 seconds or 60 seconds, that you have to be, wow. And then I just want to go back to the basics and
keep it simple.
Keep it simple and leave the actors and leave the drama and leave, you know, and Rodrigo the same. Rodrigo can be doing the best photography, not best, like the most show off, the most flamboyance, a great shaft of light and smoke and all. It's very difficult to light a room with one single light or without light. Or you see the Chivo Lubeski, Children of Men of Alfonso Cuarón, which is unbelievable. Almost not light, and it's like where the lights come from. You should never guess where the light come from.
Does it help to work with a DP in the way you do, who basically is from your culture? Because you brought up Children of Men and Alfonso Cuarón and his DP. They're also Mexican too. And I wonder if that brings something, that kind of relationship where you understand each other culturally and there's less you kind of have to explain.
Yeah, it's a very funny thing because Guillermo del Toro, Alfonso Cuarón, and my film now that are releasing, both of you know, the three of them share this kind of subject matter. I think the same anxieties, being us from a different, you know, from Mexico City, middle class families living outside of our country. Suddenly, we are having these films about, you know, globalization, immigration, you know, authority, and
all
pain.
About basically dealing with some kind of pain, I mean, some enormous emotional pain.
Yeah, and it's funny because the subject matter is the same. It's just Pan's Labyrinth is in the past, explore the past, Babel is in the present, and Children of Man is in the future. It seemed like we plan a trilogy without planning, never, you know, and that was a coincidence.
Is it partially that thing you were talking about, that you have been, that you are out of your home country and you are like working in an industry that, you know, you told me this before when you went to Amoros Perros to Cannes. They sort of treat you like it was a third world film.
Yeah. Yeah, it has been difficult. You know what I mean? When you are out of your country as the third world citizen, you know, living, this is tough. It's not easy. You know what I mean? But I have been very lucky. It's totally true. I can't complain. And in my country, I was like, you know, like, oh, you are betraying yourself, your nation, your soul, you know, in the beginning. Or they were like, you sell yourself to Hollywood and now you are destroyed. I said, you know, guys, I can't blame no studio, nobody here. If the film is my fault. I have had an amazing independence. I have had great support. I have found here great people that has been working with me in the films. And I have been completely respected and independent. And I have had a great time. Now, has been easy? No. As every filmmaker can tell you, in every film, small, big, no film is easy. But and coming from another country, directing 21 Grams, my language, my English is bad now, but before it was worse. So I'm struggling directing actors in another language that is not mine, trying to understand the culture. Sometimes my culture, you know, open the mouth a little bit more than we should. I'm not very polite. So sometimes I have to take care of myself because I like to talk about what I think or what I feel, but it seems that is not the rule here. So you have to be careful of what you say because then you will not be, you know what I mean? All that thing, I don't play too much that game. And you pay consequences, but I'm fine with it. I'm happy. You know, I'm good. I'm a soldier. I'm a warrior. Fine.
Thanks so much for doing this, Alejandro.
Thank you very much, Elise.
My guest is director Alejandro González Iñárritu. His new film is Babel. Our technical director is Mario Diaz. Bob Carlson is the editor. Mary Bradley produces the program. I'm Elvis Mitchell. It's The Treatment.
An audio archive of this and other programs can be found at kcrw.com. For questions and comments about The Treatment, please email us at thetreatment@kcrw.com. The Treatment is produced and distributed by KCRW Santa Monica.